ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்பியோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஜிஜ்ஞாசாதிகரணம் அதாத்தோ பிரம்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாசாம் ஜன்மாத்யதிகரணம் ஜன்மாத்யஸ்யயதஹ சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாதிகரணம் சாஸ்திரயோனித்வாத் சமன்வயாதிகரணம் தத்து சமன்வயாத் ஈக்ஷத்யதிகரணம் ஈக்ஷதேனா சப்தம் கௌணச்சேன்னாத்மசப்தாத் தன்னிஷ்டஸ்ய மோக்ஷோபதேசாத் கேயத்வ அவசனாச்ச ஸ்வாப்யயாத் கதிசாமான்யாத் ஸ்ருதத்வாச்ச ஆனந்தமயாதிகரணம் ஆனந்தமயா அப்யாசாத் விகாரசப்தான் நேதி சேன்ன பிராச்சுர்யாத் தத்தேது வ்யபதேசாத் மாத்ரா வர்ணிகமேவ ச கீயதே ந இதர அனுபபத்தேஹே வேதவ்யபதேசாச்ச காமாச்ச ந அனுமானாபேக்ஷா அஸ்மின்னஸ்ய ச தத்யோகம் சாஸ்தி அந்தரதிகரணம் அந்தஸ்தர்மோபதேசாத் வேதவ்யபதேசாச்சான்யஹ ஆகாஷாதிகரணம் ஆகாஷஸ்தல்லிங்காத் பிராணாதிகரணம் அதயேவ பிராணஹ ஜோதிஷ்சரணாதிகரணம் ஜோதிஷ்சரணாபிதானாத் சந்தோபிதானாத்மேதி சேத் ந ததாச்சேதோர்ப்பண விகதாத் ததாஹி தர்ஷனம் பூதாதிபாத வ்யபதேசோபபத்தேச்சைவம் உபதேசபேதாத் நேதி சேத் ந உபயமன்னஸ்மின்னபி அவிரோதாத் பிரசர்தனாதிகரணம் பிராணஸ்ததானுகமாத் ந வக்துஹ ஆத்மோபவதேசாதிதி சேத் அத்யாத்மசம்பந்தபூமாஹ்யஸ்மின் சாஸ்திரதிருஷ்ட்யா தூபதேசோ வாமதேவவத் ஜீவமுக்கிய பிராணலிங்கான்னேதி சேத் ந உபாசா த்ரைவித்யாத் ஆசிரிதத்வாத் இஹ தத்யோகாத் சர்வத்ர பிரசித்யதிகரணம் சர்வத்ர பிரசித்தோபதேசாத் விவக்ஷித குணோபபதே குணோபபத்தேஷ்ச அனுபபத்தேஸ்து ந ஷாரீரஹ கர்ம கர்த்ரு வ்யபதேசாச்ச சப்த விசேஷாத் ஸ்மிருதேஸ்ச அர்பகௌகஸ்த்வாத் தத்வ்யபதேசாச்ச நேதி சேன்ன நிச்சாயத்யா நிச்சாயத்வாத் ஏவம் வ்யோமவச்ச சம்போக ப்ராப்திரிதி சேத் ந வைசேஷ்யாத் அர்த்தாதிகரணம் அத்தாச்சராச்சரகிரகணாத் பிரகரணாச்ச குஹப்ரவிஷ்டாதிகரணம் குஹாம் பிரவிஷ்டாவாத்மனோ ஹி தத்தர்ஷனாத் விசேஷணாச்ச அந்தரதிகரணம் அந்தர உபபத்தேஹே ஸ்தானாதி வ்யபதேசாச்ச சுக விசிஷ்டாபிதானாதேவச்ச ஸ்ருதோபனிஷத்க கத்யபிதானாச்ச. திஸ் இஸ் தி 16th சூத்ரா இன் தி செகண்ட் பாதம் 47th சூத்ரா இன் பிரம்மசூத்ரா. ஸோ வி ஆர் சீயிங் திஸ் அந்தரதிகரணம் அண்ட் வி சா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் 3 ரீசன்ஸ் ஒய் அந்தர்யாமி ஷுட் பி பிரம்மன் ஒன்லி. Now we will go to the fourth sutra of this adhikaranam. As usual, we will do a general analysis first of this sutra and then we will go for the word analysis. And we had given a particular argument in the previous sutra, and based on this, the Purvapakshi may raise a question. Now we have to supply a Purvapakshi's objection in previous sutra, whatever he said. So we should note that all the 5 sections continuously say that Agni Devata has taught Brahma Upasana and the Acharya, he he continues the Brahma Upasana, and therefore Akshipurusha is Brahman alone. And the Purvapakshi says that as per the Upanishad, the argument is improper. In section 10 to 14 of Chandogya, Agni Devata teaches Upakoshala. I hope you remember the story. Upakoshala is taught by Agni Devata. And the teaching starts with Brahma Upasana. But the problem was what? Agni Devata does not teach one Upasana, but it teaches other Upasanas also, like the Garhapatya Agni Upasana, Ahavaniya Agni Upasana, all those Upasanas also it teaches. And after teaching Agni Upasana, at the end, Agni Devata tells the student that your guru will complete the teaching. Therefore, they have taught Brahma Upasana as also Agni Upasana, and the teacher starts with Akshipurusha Upasana. What is the confusion here? It is continuation, all right, but is it continuation of Brahma Upasana or continuation of Agni Upasana is the confusion. Therefore, the Purvapakshi says, it is the continuation of Agni Upasana only, and why should you take Akshipurusha as Brahman? Akshipurusha and all you should know by now. So for that, Vyasacharya gives the answer in this sutra. What is the essence of this answer? The discussion of Satyakama Jabala, who is the teacher, and Upakoshala indicates sufficient clues. And if we explore them, we will know that it is continuation of Brahma Upasana only and not Agni Upasana as contended by the Purvapakshi. And Shankaracharya gives one clue and the sutra itself gives another clue. So after Satyakama, he comes back from his pilgrimage. He looks at the student and says, you seem to have got some more knowledge from someone because of the Brahma Tejas in your face. He asks, from whom did you learn? And in that dialogue, the teacher tells Upakoshala that he has the effulgence in the face of an Upasaka even before starting the Akshipurusha Upasana. So he clearly says that you have the Tejas of Brahma Upasaka and not an Agni Upasaka. So if a person does Brahma Upasana, he will not have any papas, sins. And at the same time, it is not possible for Agni Upasaka to be free from papam. So the second clue is Sarva Papa Nasha. Like the lotus leaf example that is given. So the Upasana not only does that, at the end, the Shukla Gati or Brahma Loka Prapti Palam is said, that is mentioned actually. That's the third one. So the first clue is Tejas of Brahma Upasaka. And second one is Sarva Papa Nasha Palam. And the important clue is the third one, Brahma Loka Prapti Palam. Possible for Brahma Upasana only, not for Agni Upasana. And where is Brahma Loka Prapti Palam mentioned here? This is said in the fifth mantra of the 15th section of fourth chapter of Chandogya, and the main clues referred to in this sutra. So of the three clues, one and two are given by Shankaracharya, and Vyasacharya gives only the third clue. So what is that mantra there? Sa yenan brahma gamayati yesha deva pataha brahma pataha yetena pratipadhyamanaha imam manavam avartam na avartante na avartante. So these are the words used. Brahma pataha means Brahma margaha, shukla gati. So how do you know Brahma upasaka alone gets Brahma loka prapti? Shankaracharya quotes here Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter. Agni jyotiraha shuklaha Shanmasa uttarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojanaha. It is very clearly said, brahma vidaha janaha brahma lokam prapnuvanti, reach brahma loka. So here Akshipurusha gets Brahmaloka Prapti, that palam they get, and therefore Akshipurusha Upasana must be Brahma Upasana only and not Agni Upasana. Therefore, Brahmaloka Prapti palam is another clue to show that this is Akshipurusha Brahma Upasana only. This is the general analysis. And now let us go for the word analysis. So it has two words. Shrutopapanishatka gatihi abhidhanate. Entire thing is one compound word. And the next one is cha. So let us take the first compound word consisting of four words. So if you do patacheda, it is going to be shruta plus upanishatka plus gati plus abhidhanat. Shruta, upanishatka, gati plus abhidhanat. And shruta means the one who has heard and practiced. So upasakaha. And Upanishad here means Brahma Upasana. Therefore, Shruta Upanishadkaha means together, both it means one who has heard and practiced Brahma Upasana or simply Brahma Upasakaha. And it should be split as what? Shruta Upanishad Brahma Upasana Yena Saha Sa Bahubrihi Samasa. So Shruta means Anushtita, Upanishad, Brahma Upasana, Yena Saha, Shruta Upanishad Kaha. And the Ka, the Pratyaya, that suffix, that indicates Bahubrihi Samasa. That's all, we don't have to go into details. Or simply put, Shruta Upanishad Kaha means Brahma Upasakaha, then Gatihi means the Pala. Therefore, Shruta Upanishadka Gati means Brahma Upasaka Palam. And what is the Palam of him? The benefit attained by a Brahma Upasaka, which is Brahma Loka Prapti. Brahma Loka Prapti Palam. And Abhidhanat means because of the statement or because of the presentation. So what is the final meaning of this compound word now? Because of the presentation of Brahma Loka Palam for the Akshi Purusha Upasaka. And if such Upasaka gets Brahma Loka Palam, then the Akshi Purusha must be Brahman alone is the argument. And if it had been Agni, he would not have got Brahma Loka Palam. And then the next word is Cha. Cha, because of this reason also. So now we have to remember, whenever I use the word Brahma Upasana, it should be understood as what? As Sagunam Brahma Upasana only. And whenever we talk of Jnanam, it should be Nirguna Brahma. So when we talk of Upasana, it should be Sagunam Brahma Upasana. And when we talk about Jnanam, it is Nirguna Brahma Jnana. This we want to make it clear so that we will not have confusion. Now let us go to the next sutra. Anavasthitehe asambhavachane taraha. 17th sutra of this second pada, 48th mantra of Brahma Sutra. So first let us do the general analysis as usual. So until now, he pointed out that Akshipurusha has to be Brahman only because of the four reasons. What are the four reasons? Antara upapattehe, sthanadi vipadeshate. Each sutra is one reason. I'm only reading the sutras. So antara upapattehe, then sthanadi vipadeshate, then sukha visittabhidhanate, and shrutopanishatkam gatyabhidhanate. These are the four reasons. This is the positive argument. Now the Purvapakshi says, from a negative angle, Akshipurusha cannot be any other devata. Akshipurusha is only Brahman. So negative, Akshipurusha cannot be any other devata. Because all the scriptures give descriptions given here, they cannot fit into any other devata. What is the main suggestion from him? A very silly suggestion. Because the Upanishad has used the word Akshini Purushaha, Drishyate. Drishyate, it has told in the 15th section, first mantra, fourth chapter, Chandogya. So his first mistake is he has understood Purusha. So what was his contention? Word Purusha is used only for human beings. Yesterday we told Purusha means like male person, human being, Purusha. So his mistake is he has understood Purusha, Manushya Sharira, male Sharira. And because the normal parlance, Mrigam means animal and Purusha means human. So he is using that meaning. And his second mistake is the Upanishad says, Akshini Drishyate. So the Manushya Shariram seen in the eyes, the human body seen in the eye. For example, if a person stands in front of you and you look into his eyes and you will see your own image. So which Manushya Shariram is visible, Drishyate, where? In the eye. Now he wants to find out which Manushya Shariram is visible in the eye. And he concludes only one Manushya Shariram is visible in the eyes. And that is when I stand in front of a person, my Manushya Shariram gets reflected in the eyes of the person. And the other man's eye is like a mirror. And visible Akshi Purusha has to be the Pratibimba Sharira, the reflected Sharira, the reflected body in the visible in the eye of the person standing in front of me. So this is the Akshi Purusha. So whatever Purusha you see in the eyes of the person is the Akshi Purusha. So says who? Purupakshi. So it is Chaya Sharira. Chaya Shariram Yevam Upasya Devata. Like a shadow, the image. That is Purupakshi's argument. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says, Chaya Shariram cannot be Upasya Devata. Why? He gives two reasons. One is, it is impermanent and unsteady. When you see your own image in the eyes of the person, it is impermanent and it is unsteady. And Shankaracharya even makes a joke. If you want to do meditation on Akshi Purusha, then you bring some other person who stays still. He should be still. He cannot be moving here and there. He cannot bring his eyes. So you look, keep looking at his eyes. Therefore, it is not Chaya Sharira Rupa Akshi Purushaha. It is not the Chaya Shari image of yourself in the Akshi Purusha. It's Akshi Purusha, since it is most unsteady. And the second reason given is all the other virtues given for Brahma, Akshi Purusha Upasana, cannot fit into the Chaya Shariram. Amritam Brahma. Can the Pratibimba Shariram be immortal? Amritam. No, the Akshi Pratibimba Shariram reflected image is not as permanent as even the Bimba Shariram, leave alone Paramatma. So it cannot be Nirvikaram, it cannot be Abhayam. And not only that, later, Samyak Vamatvam, Vamanitvam, Bhamanitvam, we saw all that yesterday. So Sarva Prakashakatvam, so Sarva Karma Paladhatrutvam, it doesn't have any of those virtues at all. They do not belong to the Chaya Shariram, the image. And because of these reasons, Akshi Purusham cannot be Chaya Sharira. So this is the general analysis of this sutra. And the sutra has got five words. So anavasthitehe and asambhavat cha na itaraha. So anavasthitehe, first word. Asambhavat, second word. Cha, third. Na, fourth. And itaraha. And anavasthitehe means what? Because of unsteady impermanence of the reflected body in the eyes. It cannot be Upasya Devata at all, because the Upasya Devata presented here is Amritam, is permanent. Pratibimba Shariram is impermanent. So it cannot be that. And how impermanent it is? Once the person even turns his head, the guy stands in front of you, you look into the eye, you see your image. The moment that guy turns his eye, what happens? The Pratibimba Shariram or the reflected body will go away. So anavasthitehe and asambhavat, on account of the impossibility of all the virtues. What are the other virtues? Amritatvam, Abhayatvam, samyak vamatvam, vamanitvam. So all that thing we saw yesterday, where in the pratibimba shariram, so amrutatvadi gunanam chaya sharire sam asambhavat. They are not going to be there in the chaya shariram because of impossibility of these in the reflected body. And cha, cha means and also. For that reason also, na. Na means what? Not upase devata. And itaraha. Itaraha means the other one. The chaya shariram. Therefore, chaya shariram is not the upasya devata because it is impermanent and it cannot have all the mentioned virtues. So, akshipurusha cannot be taken in the case of, even in the case of jivatma also. Not only jivatma is negated, even the devatas in the akshi, in the eyes, they cannot be also taken as paramatma. So Surya Devata also not to be taken as Paramatma. Surya Devata also is only a Devata. So all the others are negated by the word Itaraha. So Paramatma alone is left out to be Akshipurushaha. So with this, the Antaradhikaranam is also over. Now the conclusion. So conclusion, first factor is what? Subject matter or Vishayaha. Vishayaha here is what? Akshi Antara Purusha mentioned in the first mantra, 15th section of 4th chapter of Chandogya. And the second factor is the doubt. Vishayaha Samshayaha. It is what is the doubt? Whether the Purusha is Akshi Purusha, is Paramatma or something else. So by something else, what do we mean? Whether it is Jivatma or Chayatma or Devatatma. Whether it is a devata or jivatma or chayatma, the pratibimba. And the third factor is the view of the Purvapakshi. And he says that it is chayatma alone, chaya shariram only, which means the physical body reflected in the eye of a person. And his argument is what? Because he takes Purusha as the body and drishyaman body and drishyate as visible, akshi, pratibimba, stula, sharira. And for the siddhanta, the fourth factor of the siddhanta, Vedanta's conclusion is, we say akshi purusha is paramatma only. So the main reason is what? The virtues mentioned therein fit with paramatma only and not to any other. And so it is concluded, akshi purusha is paramatma only. And fifth factor is Sangatihi. Sangatihi, I told you, this topic occurs in the right place alone. That's all we have to say. As I told you, it's a technical thing, so we will skip the technical part of it. It is placed in the right place. So after establishing that Paramatma alone is Akshi Purusha, the Purvapakshi raises a final question. He says, you have not explained on the words properly. The mantra says, Akshini Purushaha Drishyate. That is one visible in the eye. Now, if you take Akshi Purusha as Paramatma, visible in the eye, Purvapakshi asks the question, is that Paramatma visible? If you take Purusha as Paramatma visible in the eye, he asks whether the Paramatma is visible. In all the Upanishads, everywhere, we have all, it is very, very clearly said. What is said? Yattadadreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tadapani padam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tadavyayam yadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. Mundaka Upanishad, first Mundaka, first section, sixth mantra. Paramatma is adrishyam, agrahyam, cannot be tasted, touched, all that. And how do you reconcile with the description mentioned in the mantra now? Visible. Shankaracharya says, the word drishyate, darshanam, it has got two meanings. One is the literal meaning of what? Sensory perception. You touch and you feel. And the second meaning is indirect meaning of clear understanding. Jnanam is called darshanam. That is why all these shad darshanas. So when you say, do you see the point? That means what? Do you understand the point? And another is sensory perception of seeing with the eyes. So these are the two meanings. So just as seeing is final, the understanding is also final and doubtless. So all over the world, seeing is used to convey the idea of recognition and understanding. It means Paramatma is discerned in the eyes. We always ask the question, do you see the point? In the eye, I experience consciousness. I don't see consciousness, but I experience consciousness. It is not seen, but it is discerned. My body is conscious means what? I don't see consciousness, but I feel the consciousness. And if consciousness is felt everywhere, why specifically say in the eye alone? It is felt everywhere. Why should you only specifically say in the eye, Akshi Purushaha? Because eye alone is the source of 90% of the knowledge we gain. I don't know whether we recognize these facts. Eye alone is the source of 90% of the knowledge that we gain. Eye is the locus of consciousness. And drishyate means feel the consciousness. Then we go to the next adhikaranam called antaryami adhikaranam. Very important adhikaranam. Antaryami adhi devadishu tadharma vyapadeshat. That is the sutra. Antaryami adi devadishu tadharma vyapadeshat. 49th sutra, Brahma sutra, and 18th mantra, 18th sutra of the second pada. So this adhikaranam is known as antaryami adhikaranam because of the first word of the first sutra, which is antaryami. And it's also a small adhikaranam with only 3 sutras. And in this adhikaranam, the topic taken is what? From Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 7th section, and the 3rd mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. What is the mantra? Yaha prithivyam tishtan prithivya antaraha yam prithivi na veda yasya prithivigum shariram yaha prithivi mantaro ayamayati yeshata atmantaryami amrutaha. Now we have to see the background here. The 3rd chapter of Brihadaranyaka is an interesting chapter. Janaka Maharaja, he conducted a big yaga. And he invited all the scholars from various places. They all attended the yaga. And Janaka wanted to find out who is the best of all the scholars in their scholarship. And he conducted a debate. And he offered to whoever is the learned scholar will be given 1,000 cows. Not just the cows. On their horn, he will fit them with gold in all their horns. So even before the debate started, there was one rishi called Yajnavalkya. He came and he called his brahmachari, his student, and ordered him to drive all the cows to his ashrama. Nothing has started yet. He just only entered. When Janaka made the announcement, he asked his shishya to take away all the cows. And this was viewed by the other scholars who were present there as an arrogant action on the part of Yajnavalkya. And Janaka's priest, Ashwala, that's the name of the priest, he questioned the propriety of Yajnavalkya for having ordered the cows to be driven away without proving his worth. Actually, it's a debate, a competition. Yajnavalkya has to first prove that he is the most learned scholar in that assembly. But without doing anything, he just ordered his student to drive away the cows. So he went and questioned Yajnavalkya. So they all asked Yajnavalkya, how do you consider yourself the best of the scholars? And Yajnavalkya said that he wanted the cows. I wanted the cows. I have an ashram with a lot of students. So I need the cows. And so he ordered them to be taken. He gave a very simple answer. And Ashwala, the Kota, he's a Rigveda priest at the palace, at Janaka's palace. He demanded Yajnavalkya to answer the question raised by them. And only after proving his worth, he could drive away the cows to his ashram. So in the seventh section, a Brahmana named Aruni, Uddalaka Aruni, he asked two questions to Yajnavalkya, one regarding Hiranyagarbha and another about Ishwara. There also we have an interesting story. This Aruni went to a place called Madhradesha. Madhradesha he went for some teaching and he asked a Gandharva. And this Gandharva, what did he do? He possessed the wife of the teacher. So they asked all about who is Hiranyagarbha and who is Antaryami and all that, for which the Gandharva gave the answers. So Hiranyagarbha in this section is termed as Sutra Atma. I described all this in detail during our Brahadaranyaka lectures. So Hiranyagarbha means Sutra Atma and Ishwara as Antaryami in this place. So the question asked is, who is greater? Is Hiranyagarbha greater or Antaryami Ishwara is greater? That is the question. And since Antaryami is superior, this section is called Antaryami Brahmana. And here Aruni asks who is Ishwara and who is Antaryami. And that is explained in the 61st shloka of chapter 18 of Bhagavad Gita. And what it says, Ishwara Sarva Bhutanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtati Ramayan Sarva Bhutani Yantrarudhani Mayaya. The Lord is called Antaryami, who is inside every devata and every being. And so it is called Antaha Yami. Yami means the controller. Antaryami means the inner controller. The one who is inside and controls everything. Controller means one who gives existence and consciousness to all. And Brahma alone lends existence to everyone. If the mind exists, it is because of consciousness only. Brahma alone lends existence to all. So that alone is further explained here in the form of an Yaksha story in Keno Upanishad. That also we have done when we did Keno Upanishad, the story of an Yaksha. So the inner controller of fire and Vayu is Brahman only. So Yajnavalkya explains all about Antaryami and says Antaryami is both in the microcosm and in the macrocosm. And it is in all the devatas and it is in all the living beings. So Antaryami controls Indra Devata, Prithivi Devata, Vayu Devata, everything. Just as, for example, I cannot know Antaryami, so also Prithivi Devata cannot know Antaryami. If at all I want a body to, you know, to Brahman, then Prithivi is body to Brahman, of that a Brahman. Residing within Prithivi, the Brahman controls Prithivi and lends consciousness to Prithivi Devata. So in every Panchabhuta, Antaryami is there. And later Yajnavalkya says, Antaryami is in you. And the essence is Tat Tvam Asi. And it is none but you yourself. That is the teaching. So this Antaryami is your eternal essence. Then what is the controversy here? The controversy is, it is said Antaryami and it did not say it is Paramatma. So it is inner controller only and it is not Brahman. So there is a vagueness. So every devata is said to be the inner controller. Surya Devata is Antaryami because Surya Devata controls my eyes, so on solar disk, and resides in my eyes also. Similarly, Indra Devata is within my hand, and it can be called Antaryami also. Akasha Devata can be called Antaryami also. And Akasha is in our ears, controlling our hearing power. Each Devata controls external world and also inner organs. Antaryami refers to a Devata, or does it refer to Brahman? This is the question. Does it refer to Ishvara or Devata? And the Purvapakshi says, it is Devata only and not Brahman or Ishvara. But the Siddhanti will prove that Ishvara is the ultimate controller. It is like an intermediary boss and the ultimate boss, the head clerk and the manager maybe. The intermediary boss controls his inferiors, his subordinates, and ultimate boss controls the intermediary boss also. And now we will see a general analysis in the first sutra. Vyasacharya establishes Antaryami both in microcosm and macrocosm is Ishvara, because all virtues mentioned fits with Ishvara only and not with any Devata. And three virtues are mentioned here. The word immortal means amrutatvam, that fits with Ishvara only. And even Devatas are not immortal. Their status is due to their punya karmas. Devatas are also perishable. Amrutatvam fits only into Ishvara and Brahman. And it is said to be the innermost essence of Jiva. And Brahma alone is the essence of Jiva, and Devata is never said to be the inner essence of a Jiva. Atmatvam fits into Brahman alone. This Brahman is ultimate controller, which controls everything through a Devata. Brahman controls the eye through the sun, Surya Devata. The mind controls the mind through the Chandra Devata, moon. So the ultimate inner controller is Ishvara. And in Sandhyavandanam also, there could be a doubt. Are we worshipping the Surya Devata or the ultimate controller? Dhyaya Sada Savitra Mandala Matyavarti Narayana Saraji Sasana Sannivishtaha. It is addressed to Brahman alone. Similarly, here also, when the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, Yam Prithivi Na Veda. Prithivi does not know Antaryami. Does it refer to Prithivi Devata or Antaryami? The ultimate controller. Vyasacharya argues that Atmatvam, Sarvantaryamitvam, and Amrutatvam, all the three attributes relate to Brahman only and not to any Devata. Brahman alone is the inner self of all. No particular Devata is the essence of all. Everyone means all gods, all living beings, Adibhutam and Adhyatmam. Therefore, the first attribute is Atmatvam, that reveals it is Brahman only. And the second attribute is Sarva Antaryamitvam. And here the Upanishad reveals that Antaryami is the inner controller of everyone. All gods, Adidevam, human beings, Adibhutam, and all organs, Adhyatmam. He is the inner controller of all of them. So Vyasa's argument is Brahman alone can be inner controller of all. No particular Devata is Sarva Antaryami. Every particular Devata is inner controller of only one thing. If you take Surya Devata, Surya Devata can be Antaryami of the eyes alone. And the third one, therefore, Antaryami Brahmanam talks about a Sarva Antaryami. That has to be Brahman only. And the third one is Amrutatvam. Amrutatvam means immortality. And that does not belong to any Devata also, because Brahman creates all of them. They have got longer life, but they do not have immortality or Amrutatvam. I have already mentioned to you Brahmaji's age. So big. Therefore, because of Atmatva Dharma, సర్వాంతర్యామిత్వ ధర్మ అండ్ అమృతత్వ ధర్మ. ద సూత్రా సేస్ వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ సే? తద్ధర్మ వ్యపదేశాత్, బ్రహ్మధర్మ వ్యపదేశాత్, అంతర్యామి బ్రహ్మైవ భవితుం అర్హతి నతు కాచిదపి దేవత. అంతర్యామి కెన్ బి ఓన్లీ బ్రహ్మన్ అండ్ నాట్ ఎనీ అదర్ దేవత. అండ్ దర్ ఇస్ ఆల్సో వన్ మోర్ పంచ్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్. ఆచార్య గివ్స్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆర్గ్యుమెంట్స్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ దేర్ ఇన్ ద సూత్ర. శంకరాచార్య బ్రింగ్స్ ఇట్ అవుట్. సో ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ ది థర్డ్ మంత్ర అండ్ సీ ద మీనింగ్ దేర్ వీ విల్ నో వాట్ ఈ సెడ్. యహ పృథివ్యాం తిష్టన్, సో అంతర్యామి రిసైడ్స్ ఇన్ ది పృథివీ అండ్ పృథివ్యా అంతర ఇన్సైడ్ ద పృథివీ ది ఇన్నర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఆఫ్ పృథివీ అండ్ ఎం పృథివీ న వేద. దిస్ ఈస్ ఎ క్రూషియల్ పాయింట్. ఇట్ ఈస్ దర్ ఇన్సైడ్ ఆఫ్ పృథివీ బట్ పృథివీ ది ఎర్త్ డస్ నాట్ నో ది అంతర్యామి. ఎం పృథివీ న వేద. అండ్ వ్యాసాచార్య ఆస్క్ ద క్వశ్చన్, వాట్ ఇస్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఎర్త్ హియర్ పృథివీ? సటన్లీ వర్డ్ ఎర్త్ కెనాట్ బి ఫిజికల్ ఎర్త్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఇనర్ట్. Nobody needs to say that the earth does not know, because it is inert material, matter. And here that means prithivi devata ye chetana vastu knows. And the question is, prithivi devata knows antaryami or not? It knows. Other knows antaryami or not? Even prithivi devata does not know antaryami, because another devata, only through jnana one can have. So Vyasacharya argues, if the Upanishad says Prithivi does not know Antaryami, then Antaryami must be someone different from Prithivi Devata. And only when it is an object different from Prithivi Devata, then alone we can say Prithivi Devata does not know or know. Therefore, the very fact that it is said Prithivi Devata does not know Antaryami, what is the conclusion we make? The inner controller of even the Prithivi Devata. Prithivi Devata does not know its own Antaryami, which is what? Which is Brahman. Therefore, Yam Prithivi Na Veda. That is what the Upanishad says. That's a very critical statement, which establishes that Antaryami is Brahman, is inner controller of every Prithivi Devata, which even the Prithivi Devata, even the Prithivi Devata, which even the Prithivi Devata does not know. And this is the next argument to establish Antaryami is not Prithivi Devata. So this is the general analysis. Now we will have to go to the word analysis. Sutra has got three words. One is Antaryami, and then Adideivadishu, and third one is Tadharma Vipateshat. Antaryami means inner controller, we already saw. Antahasan Yamayati, Niyamayati, iti Antaryami, residing within and indwelling. And Yami means controller. So that which is a controller residing within is Antaryami. In which context it is now? This Antaryami, we have to be careful, because all these words all can have different meanings in different places. This Antaryami we are talking about is in the seventh Brahmanam of third chapter of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. This is the controversial word here. Who is the inner controller? And the second word is what? Adi Deivadishu. Within the gods, Adi Deva. So within the gods, to various devatas like Prithivi Devata, Jala Devata, Agni Devata later, Surya Devata, Chandra Devata, even Lightning Devata, all are given in the mantras. So therefore, Antaryami residing in the gods, various gods, etc. And that not only residing in the gods, but also residing in all living beings, humans, animals, everywhere. which means adibhutam also. So adidevam, now it is adibhutam. That is the inner controller residing in all of us, animals and all that. And not only that, within all our organs also, like jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, which is adhyatma. So adidevam, adibhutam and adhyatam. So that's what the mantra says. Yopsutishtan adhyontaraha yam apona viduhu syatis apona viduhu apona apahana viduhu. Yes, yapaha shariram yopontaraha yamayati yeshata atmam antaryami amrtaham. Again, like this is about waters. Then yo prane tishtan, yo agnau tishtan, yo vayau tishtan, yo manasi tishtan, yo vijnane tishtan, all this. So within every organ also antaryami is there. Therefore adideva adishu. So adideve, adibhute, adhyatme. So in all three atom, by adishu, it includes all the three other things also. So in all these things, antaryami resides. And this is the meaning of adidevadishu. Then we have to supply a word to complete the sentence. That is what? Brahma. Then what will be the meaning now? Antaryami, residing in gods, in humans and organs, is Brahman only, not any limited devata. Therefore, Brahma is sadhyam and antaryami is paksha. Then what is the hetu now, the reason? Tad dharma vyapadeshat. It's a compound word consisting of three words. Tat plus dharma plus vyapadeshat. Here tad refers to Brahma. And dharma means the attributes. So tad dharma means what? Brahman's attributes. And the attributes kept in mind are what? Atmatvam, sarvantaryamitvam and amrtatvam. We just saw. And any devata cannot have any of the three dharma attributes. No devata can have any of them. Vipadeshat means because of the reference to Brahman's attributes, you should take antaryami as Brahman alone and not anything else, any devata or anything. Now the Purvapakshi, he raises a very simple objection. What does he do? He asks the question, how can Brahman be the inner controller of everything? Because in the world, if you have to control something, what do we need? I require various organs like hand, leg, all that, or the body to control anything. Therefore, controlling requires, I need have various bodies, etc. Karmendriyani, shariram, jnanendri, all those things I need. Like a car. And you say that Brahma is without any organs. Ettadadreshyam, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshuhu, shrotram, tadapani padam. It has no hand, no legs, none of those. Apani padam. Therefore, antaryami, if it is Brahman, it cannot be the controller. Why? Ashariratvat. No body. Because it does not have any controlling medium. That is the first argument. This is Purvapakshi's argument. And he gives the second argument also. He says, you say Brahman is asanga, asangam. Asanga means what? Sambandarahitam. It does not have any relationship. How can a relationless, connectionless Brahman control anything at all? Because to control, you need a relationship. Controller, controlled relationship. So Brahmanaha ashariratvate, Brahmanaha asangatvate, katam Brahma sarvani yamayati. How can it control everything? How can Brahman, without any relation, control anything? And Shankaracharya answers for that question. He says, there is no such rule that a body is required to control everything. In certain cases, body is utilized to control, but there is no rule that a body is required, because we find, for example, for controlling a car, let us say, the Jivatma uses the body. Now the question is, how does Jivatma control the body itself? For example, I move the, let us say, the cloth with the help of my hand. How do I move the hand? To move the hand, the Jivatma does not require another hand. I can move just with my own hand, one hand. The hand is functional. So Jivatma has the Shakti to move the hand without having another body. That's what Acharya says. To move one body or one object, you don't require anything. Therefore, if Jivatma can move this body without removing or requiring another body, then Brahman can certainly move the world without having any other part. And the moving power of Brahman is called what? Is Maya Shakti. Therefore, Brahman, without having hands, without having legs and all those organs, can move the whole world with his Maya Shakti. Shiva Shaktya Yuktaha Yadi Bhavati Shaktaha Prabhavitam. Saundralagari, first shloka. He is Ashariraha, but he Ashariraha without Shariram, but has Maya Shakti. So that's how Acharya answers his first question. The second question is what? Brahman does not have any connection, Asangaha, with the world. And how can connectionless Brahman can control the world? And the answer is what? Pure Brahman is asangaha. True. But Maya Sakitam Brahman has come down to Ishwara's plane and has relationship with the world. Therefore, Maya Sakitam Brahman is Vyavaharikam. We have to come to this Paramarthikam Vyavaharikam discussion. World is also Vyavaharikam. So this Vyavaharika Brahman and Vyavaharika world, that has got connection. Whereas Paramarthikam Brahma and world has no connection whatsoever. Therefore, there is no problem at all. Here the Antaryami talked about is what? Is Maya Sahitam. So Brahman can do both. Can have control and can have connection also. Maya Sakitam Brahman can have. So with this, the first sutra of the Adhikaranam is over. Now we'll read the second sutra. Nachas Martham Atat Dharma Bilabhat. So let us do again the general analysis. Here, Vyasacharya answers an objection raised by a Sankhya philosopher. The objection is not given here, that we have to supply, but the answer to the objection is given. Therefore, we have to first find the objection. What is the objection? He says, Prakriti or Pradhana. In Sankhya means you have to come to Prakriti. Prakriti or Pradhana. That can be taken as Antaryami. And he justifies saying that Prakriti is the Moola Karana of the entire creation. This we already saw. Just as gold is the Karanam of all the ornaments. Mayam tu Prakritim Vidyate Mayinam tu Maheshwara. Prakritim Purushan Chaiva Vidyanadivu Bhavapi. Vikaram Chagunan Chaiva. Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavam, Krishna said also. So the basic matter of Prakriti with the basic three gunas, Sattva Rajottama gunas, is the material cause modified into the entire creation. We already saw all that, those details. That is why the whole creation has got three gunas, Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, and Tamo Guna. And since Prakriti is the Moola Karanam of all the creation, it has to be the inner essence of everything also. Therefore, Prakriti has to be Antaryami of creation. Just as, for example, a clay is parts Antaryami. Part Antaryami is what? Clay. And necklaces Antaryami is what? Is gold. And not only the karanam is the inner essence, the very existence of the product is determined by the material cause only, upadhana karanam. Therefore, it is the inner controller of the very existence of all the products, all the karyam. If it lends the existence, then they will enjoy. Otherwise, they cannot enjoy the very existence itself. So they argue, who? The Sankhyas. They argue, Prakriti is the very essence of all the creation. So sarva antaryami Prakriti, because sarva karanatvat, because it's a karanam for everything. So sarva antaryamitvam fits very well here. And not only that, it is amritam also. What? Prakriti. Because even in pralaya, Prakriti does not get destroyed. And it goes into the avyakta avastha, dormant form. Just as when all the ornaments are destroyed, gold continues. Similarly, when all the vikritis, the karyam, the products are destroyed, Prakriti, the karanam, continues to exist. Therefore, Prakriti has got sarvantaryamitvam, amritatvam. And not only that, he even argues further. Later in Brihadaranyaka itself, antaryami is further discussed as what? Adrishto drashta, ashruto shrota, amato mantha, avijnato vijnata. All these mantras we have seen there, Brihadaranyaka. That's why knowledge of the Upanishads are very, very critical in understanding Guru Sutras. There the word used is what? Adrishtaha means invisible, imperceptible, apratyaksham. Pratyaksham, apratyaksham. And the Sankhya philosopher, what does he say? He says, Prakriti is also apratyaksham. What you see is only the vikriti, the product. And when all products are resolved, and when Prakriti also remains, then that Prakriti is invisible. It is the seed form, it is the dormant form. So even in Vedanta, Maya is invisible. And Maya turned product is visible. So the Karana Rupam is Avyaktam. That is why another word for Prakriti is Avyaktam itself. Sarva Indriya Agocharam. And it is another word for Prakriti. Avyaktam. So Antaryami is said to be also Indriya Agocharam. Beyond sense perceptions. And the Sankhyas, they say, Prakriti is also Indriya Gocharam. And therefore, Antaryami should be taken as Prakriti alone. Not Brahma. Who says? Sankhya philosopher says. And our answer is what? No. It is not correct. Why? Because of two main reasons. Vyasacharya argues that you don't read the whole Brahmanam properly. You are taking portions selectively. The Upanishad defines Antaryami as what? Adrishtaha, invisible, but drashta, seer of everything. How it's possible? Adrishtaha, drashta. So, ashruta, shrota, it is not heard, but it is the hearer of everything. But what do you do now? You take adrishtaha, but forget drashta. Antaryami is a seer and it is chetanam because it is drashta, it is shrota, it is vijnata. Whereas the moola prakriti of Sankhya, that is unfortunately achetanam, it is matter principle. Therefore, how drashta antaryami can reveal achetana prakriti? It can never do that. But it can reveal chetanam Brahma only. This is the first answer. Given in the sutra. And the second answer is not given in the sutra, but discussed in the Bhashyam. Often we find in Brahma Sutra that the sutra itself answers many questions. But there are many commentators, not only they explain Vyasacharya's answers, in addition to that, they themselves give many answers, like Shankaracharya. And that is why for Sankara Bhashyam, there is sub-commentator, there are many sub-commentators. So he not only explains Shankara's interpretation, but gives further answers also. So for every question we have, there can be many, many answers. Therefore, if we study Brahma Sutra itself, we will get many answers. Then if you see the commentary, you get more answers. And if you read the sub-commentaries, it gives even more answers. Mostly the first answer from the sutra itself is adequate, mostly. Now, what is the another bonus answer? It is the antaryami is mentioned as the atma of everyone. Atma means inner self of everything, every living being, and even gods. And Shankaracharya argues the very word self refers to chetana tattvam only. Matter can never be the inner essence of a living being. Atma can refer to only to a conscious being and not to an inert prakriti. Therefore, atma shabda prayogate, this we have discussed this argument earlier in the fifth adhikarana, or the first path called ikshatya adhikaranam. We saw that the sutra, what is the sutra we saw? Gaunaha chenna atma shabdat. Where Vyasacharya argues the word atma can be used only for chetana tattvam. Because atma, the self, which can be used only to a chetana tattvam. This is the second argument. And this is the general analysis also. Now we will take up the word analysis in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasa maheshwaraha Sri Krishna arpanamastu purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate om shanti shanti shanti.